What a perfect day for you to be here. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. What a perfect day for you to be here. Thank you so much for that, Celia. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community. And I just had 3 Sundays off in a row, and it was heavenly, but man, it's good to be back. I can't quit looking at you. You know, it's like I want to just stare at all of you. You all look so beautiful to me. And so I'm going to take your picture so I can remember this moment. This is something is happening in the West Valley, and I'm so excited about it. I'm not really all sure what it is, but holy cow, hang on. Yeah, a lot. You can just feel the energy changing, and so much is happening with our intent to get the building painted this year, or I don't know if we'll get it done, but the campaign is going to earn the money this year. We're going to get this building looking so good. I noticed they put a Burger King up. I need to, the board, in case I forget to tell you later. I like how that Burger King looks. It's the one on Grand where Coco's used to be. So if you get a chance to run by there and look, that's a beautiful vision for this building. It's a little upscale maybe, but looks good, and I'm just seeing that this is our year in so many ways, so many ways. So good morning. I have missed you, and I am here today. The title of my message is Fabulously Important. And I chose that title weeks ago, thinking I had something very important to tell you, because this is my first Sunday in the new year to speak to you. And so I had this all mapped out as to what I was going to talk about, but you know how life is. Things change, and it turns out there's something even more fabulously important. I had to scratch all the old stuff so that I could bring this fresh message to you. And I understand you've had a good time while I was away. You may be a little spoiled by the looks of all things. I understand that you had gifts every Sunday while I was gone. You had gifts. Sue Witter brings you keys to the kingdom on the first Sunday of the year. Yeah, that's right. I love my set of keys. I got to do that with her before I left. And then the next week you had Armand and Angelina, who are sort of a toned-down Celia. You had Armand and Angelina who bring you a concert and a certain uniqueness in music that's just fun. It's like, well, they were on TV once, and yeah, it's just a hoot. And then I understand also that last week, Reverend Cheryl, I don't think she's here. I've heard no amens yet. Oh, let me hear an amen. Oh, she's here. Reverend Cheryl was with you last week, and Reverend Cheryl even brought you gifts. I understand she brought you forks and lights. And I'm telling you, I'm having a little trouble making sense of what happened last week in this sanctuary. But the thing is, I know my friend, Reverend Cheryl, and what I suspect is that you needed the forks because she miraculously manifested fish and loaves or bagels and fish and probably, knowing Cheryl, even that miracle of wine. And you guys all had a fun brunch while I was away. That's what I'm thinking. Come on, forks and lights. So I'm really happy you're back. It means I don't have to do very much today. I have no gifts for you, but I am excited, and I have a lot to talk about. I wanted to say that this idea of me coming back and being invigorated, because that always happens. When I take quality time for myself, there's something that happens that makes me fresher and excited about being here for you. And so I really know what's fabulously important to me in the last couple of weeks, and I know what I want to deliver in it in terms of a message. And I'm going to start by telling you that I found this quote from Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this teaching, this philosophy, this spiritual way of life that's so rich and wonderful and based on principle. Holmes said, "Spiritual evolution should make the divine not more distant, but more intimate." Yeah. And I feel like that's what happened. When I took some time to pay attention to what is, you know, to what matters most to me, then I can see what is fabulously important that's always been right here. And I want to talk to you about that. And actually, I have a lot to say about that. But the reason it's important today is because I am kicking off our theme for 2019, which I have decided boils down to this: what matters most. And so if we talk today and we consider in a very personal way what matters to us individually, what's important to us in our own lives as individual expressions of the divine and how we show up in life, not just on Sunday mornings, but in the way that we share our lives, then we are looking at living a very meaningful and purposeful life. So I wanted to give you an opportunity, and I bet you already are thinking about, so what is that that's so important to me? So take a moment and just think. We're not going to share out loud, so you have permission to gather your little ideas and treasure them. But when I ask you what's most important to you right now, just notice the first thing that pops in your mind. And now take a breath. And I want you to think of, after that, then, what's next most important to you right now? And one final time, only this time I'm going to throw out a little guideline, and that is, this time I'm going to ask you the same question, but you can't think about family, spouse, best friend, neighbor, even the cutest pet in your house. What other than all those things matters to you now? Now, I have just given you a great gift because you have three things. Stop and rehearse it in your mind and see that you remember what your three things are. Write them down if you need to. Because those three things are important. When we live our lives consciously and intentionally and awake and aware, then we really do bring meaning and purpose and relevance into our lives. And relevance is a tremendously important theme for me. As many of you know, I talk about it all the time because there seems very apparent to me that something has shifted on this planet, not just since 2016. I think that something's been shifting for 20 or 30 years. I see it in my grandkids that they just are not born in this planet the way my kids came to the planet. They're geared for a whole different world. And that encourages me because when I don't like what I see going on either, let's just say when I don't like what I see going on anywhere, what I realize is it's okay, because some of the discomfort we feel in that kind of uneasiness, some of the things that even frighten us a little bit that happen in the news or about the looking forward to the future of the planet, that those are things that we can be obsessed with in our worrisome way, but that we are gifted with this philosophy that invites us to find the spiritual principle behind that that is trying to emerge on the planet so that can be healed. Okay. Right? So, yes, there are times where we all get a little scared because there things are uncertain. And as much as change is wonderful for us, it also is kind of scary sometimes because it puts us on the edge of everything we know, and it supposes there's something unknown ahead of us. And we don't like that so much. But what I know is, listen carefully, that at the core of this spiritual belief, and at the core of almost every spiritual tradition, we understand that right where we are, something magnificent, some kind of infinite intelligence is right there with us. It's that which makes a flower turn and face the sun. Or the vine, pothos, my pothos in the in the kitchen window. The leaves, I have to rotate it because the leaves always look at the window where the light is, right? So I rotate it around so the leaves will change and the plant will stay full. And so there's something that's always perfect in spite of the conditions that we walk through or the experiences that come to us. So what that means is that right where we are, no matter what we're going through, that God is there, that love is right there, that joy is right there. Now, the important thing, I love that you said that the questions asked, because that you didn't know this, but that's a part of my, I'm going to talk about that right now. That I have this idea that I read once that Holmes asked himself three questions every day. And what's really interesting to me is variations of those same three questions are showing up in all kinds of current authors that are writing spiritual books, even in leadership books that are not intended to be spiritual. But they're asking those same three juicy questions. I have them on the bulletin board in Holmes Base. And the first question Holmes asked himself every day was, it's what do I believe? What do I believe? See, when I stop right there and ask myself that, it takes me back to my own center because I work at knowing what I believe and what matters most. So Holmes would say, what do I believe about God? What or who is God? And I love that he threw in that word what. Because if we ask ourselves, what do I believe God is? What is God? That gives us all the freedom to really expand our understanding of infiniteness, of powerfulness, of that which has no beginning and has no end, those things that the human mind gets a little stuck on. But it reminds us that always those things are present. So we re-examine. Imagine that. This amazing man, every day of his life, asked himself, what is God? So that he had an opportunity to redefine it. And then the second question is, what do I believe about the universe? Is the universe a friendly place or not? What do you believe? Einstein said, how you answer that question determines what your life looks like. And the third question is, and what am I here for? What is my purpose in being? So this is such a good time for us to evaluate those types of questions in terms of really beginning a new year. And you've had a great kickstart here at the center. That is one thing we do really, really well every year. We end it with all this sacredness. We have the World Peace Meditation at 5 a.m. and it's beautifully candlelit. We have a candlelight ceremony before that. Then I do the World Peace, and then later that same day, Sue does the burning bowl, and we really speak succinctly to intention, into those kinds of questions. What do I believe? What do I intend to accomplish this year? Or as Emma Curtis Hopkins would say, every night of my life, while God is swelling me with possibility, I choose. Get the image in your mind before you close your eyes in slumber. So I found this quote from, again, this is an Ernest Holmes quote, and it comes from the book called Creative Mind and Success. I will be using this book all year. Just like last year, I used the first book he ever wrote, Creative Mind. I had you a passage every week from that book. This year, I will be using the second book he published, and he published it in that same year, 1919, which means, as I anticipated before, this year we are looking at SOM 101. So here's a quote that is taken from the foreword of this book. This is what it looks like now. I have a much older copy that doesn't look this way anymore. But this is what it looks like now. We're going to try and have it in the bookstore all year long, right? Right, Nancy? That was communication. In the foreword of this book, he wrote words that I actually go back and reread again and again because it strikes me so relevant. Ernest Holmes said, "This foreword is being written in 1957 for the 19th printing of this little book. I have just reread it. And as I read, I contemplated what changes might have occurred in my thinking in these 38 years." It's 101 now, but when he wrote that, it was 38 years. "What revisions might I make in the manuscript if I were writing it new today?" Well, he decided there are few. "For truth is ageless, it is timeless, and it is changeless." Can you imagine having that much confidence in something he wrote as a young man to know that he was spot on? 38 years later, he rereads it and is satisfied that he had the truth there, that he had the ageless, timeless, changeless truth in the book. He said, "We have modified our technique slightly in the way we pray, in the way we talk about using principles in life. We've modified technique slightly. But this much I know, if I were writing this book today, it would be penned with far greater conviction than in 1919. Okay. He wrote that in 1957. Nancy's reaching for a piece of paper to write that book title down. He wrote that in 1957. He passed in 1960. Wouldn't it be great to know that shortly before you passed, you knew you had done a good job? That you were satisfied with this great work of your life? I mean, he had other works as well, but as I looked at that and played with that idea, I began to think, you know, how many of us, when if you ask yourself, if I could live my life over, what would I do differently? Well, I notice when I, for the most part, I'm pretty satisfied, but you can always remember those times where you wish you didn't say quite what you said, or you wish you would have not done something you did way back when. But I believe that as I review these words he wrote in the foreword of this spectacular book, that what I'm feeling is that there's a way we can look at our entire life and find some contentment, because if we are loving about our review of our life, we would see that we always did the best we could with the information we had at that time. And sometimes those experiences that we don't like remembering are the very things that pulled us to up our game and do better. Right? Yes, let's hear it for being kind to ourselves when we review our how we'd like things to be slightly different. So the reason I'm putting an emphasis on this morning is because I really do firmly, as a minister, I believe that when we begin to understand that we did the best we could with what we had, we then have an inner shift that allows us to lighten up on all the opinions we have about other people. We can see that if we disagree or we're offended or whatever happens, we can know that, yes, but also, just like me, this one is trying to do the best they can with the experiences life has given them, and they are right where they need to be, too. So this January, or this, you know, 2 weeks I've been away, I actually only had a 2-week vacation, but I took 3 Sundays because it's just so luscious to not have to think about writing a talk, and that gives me some real space. So I had a really wonderful time getting away. And the first week, Hugh and I actually traveled, and we had a full 7 or 8 days away where I was just completely pampered, and I loved every minute of it. I did nothing. I did nothing but read fiction and lay around, and at 3 o'clock every afternoon, somebody brought me champagne with skewers of frozen fruit. It was heavenly. And then after a glass of champagne at 3 o'clock, you have to have a nap, right? And I'd take a nap, and then we'd get up and have this fabulous dinner. And it's a kind of resort where you can really choose what you want to eat. So I ate really good, and he didn't, and we were both happy. It was just fun. It was just so great. And then we would, you know, either go to a show or watch a great movie on the TV in our room. And so it was really fun. And we came home after that week, and I checked my email and my phone, and then I turned it all off and gave myself the second week completely separated from you. I left you in good hands, but I didn't check email. I didn't look at my phone. I didn't even talk to Sue Witter, who we talk almost every day. I said, that's it. I need this week now for me. I'm going to pamper me. And I set up a whole little, and my office was perfect. I worked several hours working on my project. I've typed more than 80 pages since I've been away on what all this relevance, this research I've been doing for 2 years now. And so I'm putting it all together. Maybe I'm writing a book, who knows? And then I stayed in my pajamas. I only got dressed 2 days. One was because I had to go to the market, and the other was because I really needed to take a walk, and I didn't think I should do it in my pajamas. So I had this luscious time, and I journaled, and I do personal work, because in January I always do a good personal overview of what I'm looking at, what I've accomplished, what's coming up next in terms of what I want to accomplish for the coming year. So I'm exhilarated. That stuff is good for the soul. It's important for us to create some space in our life so that we can reevaluate what's important now. What matters now? Not what I didn't do. Not putting too much on my plate in terms of setting goals and stuff for the new year. What matters now to me? How have my values shifted since the last time I've played in these types of exercises? What is fabulously important to me right now? And when I asked that question, and I eliminated family and best friends and all of that stuff, what I realized is it's life. It's you. It's that I get to come and see your picture and love you so much I want to take your pictures home with me, right? It's that I love my job. I love this opportunity at this time of my life to be able to do what my heart desires to do in this great and tremendous way. And it's the way, and I do not underestimate this. I probably should have said this first because this is kind of abnormal, but I have a passion for this teaching, for this philosophy that only grows because it's simple, it works, it's relevant, and it never loses its value. And so what a gift that we know what's most important. And I want you to have that too. I want you to own what it is that you find most relevant in your life and what helps you to be uplifted and how you move through your experiences. I keep thinking about this one quote from Thich Nhat Hanh and miraculously, sort of like your song, Synchronicity, being perfect for us today, Celia. I kept thinking of this Thich Nhat Hanh quote that I love very much. And he said this, it's a simple quote. The miracle is not to walk on water. It's how to walk on God's green earth. You know, and you know what that means? How do we walk on God's green earth when something difficult has just happened in our life? Well, then you just do it as gently as you can. You be kind to yourself. If you need to take a respite and stay in your pajamas for a week, then that's what we do. You don't beat yourself up when something goes wrong. You find a way to appreciate that our experiences we have been given on this planet are here for an opportunity for us. That every condition we walk through can be a lesson if we are so open to it, an opportunity to apply these spiritual principles to our life, to open ourselves to a greater understanding that power and presence of God is right where we are, and therefore there is still joy here, there is still peace, there is still beauty, there is still harmony, there is still Reverend Cheryl every Thursday and me every Sunday. You know, there are some things that are consistent. And when we remember that there is indeed a power greater than we are, then it becomes easier to remember that when we're walking through those difficult times. We'll more quickly return to that place of remembering that. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And I just, so that you don't feel too uncomfortable, it's one of those very personal stories, but it's a story that my husband asked me to share with you this morning, because it's about him. So the story is that we have, in this review, there's no question we had a really challenging year last year. And a lot of things happened. Hugh had a great medical adventure, and I got to ride along as it goes. And so since his, and remember now, he told me, he asked me to share this with you. In that experience of this medical adventure, there have been some changes. So he's not quite what he was. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's okay to laugh at him. He loves it. If he struggles in front of you, you can laugh at him and make fun of him because that makes him happy. I don't know why, but he finds that funny now. And so he's a good sport, I think. And so what I know is that the changes that we have had to adapt to pertain to things like his memory. Now, he has some very interesting memory gaps that are so unique. I can't really describe them, but it can be challenging if you're the spouse, or because he doesn't seem to mind. So so we deal with that. He has, as you may have observed, a little more challenge getting around. But the third thing that's the real funny thing that he always, that we laugh about all the time, is that he's had some challenges with his speech. So he talks fine. None of you guys would notice this. You have to spend lengthy time with him because every now and then, the funny thing that happens is he knows what he's trying to say, but he can't think of the word. Well, the reason he wanted me to tell you this story is because 2 or 3 days ago, he was driving through a taco place, and he gets to the speaker, and he wanted a quesadilla. But he couldn't remember what a quesadilla was. And you know how the menu kind of blurs while the guy's sitting there waiting for you to place your order? So you can't read the sign anymore. At least that happens to me. So he says, Hugh starts laughing and he goes, well, I want this. And he describes what he wants. You know, it's that thing. It's got melted cheese inside of it. It's a taco place. Everything has melted cheese inside of it. And so he's struggling, and the guy's asking him questions back and forth. The cars are lining up behind him, and he's trying to talk about it. And suddenly, the word came to his mind. Oh, quesadilla. But he couldn't get it out his tongue, so he tells the guy, I've got it. I've got it. Bring me a cortesia. So he drives through, and he gets to the window, and the kid goes, that'll be $22. And Hugh said, and Hugh looked at him and said, what exactly did I order? So they straightened it out, and, you know, he got his quesadilla. But here's what I want to tell you. We adapt to the changes life brings us. And we are in choice as to what we do with it. And I am very, very blessed to be wedded to a man who can find the humor. And we saw our kids over the weekend, and I was just telling our son, it's like, I don't think he even can get angry anymore. He's so sweet and kind and gentle, and I love you, honey. Why, thank you. And so, you know, I want us to know that just because you've gone through something hard does not mean that the joy and the fun is missing. It does not mean that there isn't peace. You know, if you're feeling uncomfortable, that inner peace is still right there in front of you. The only thing that has to change is the way that we view it. It's not about what experiences you've been through. It has nothing to do with that because we've all been through experiences. But it has to do with how we choose to respond to what life throws at us. And it's appropriate to grieve when life sucks. It's appropriate to honor your sadness, the dark times. And it is appropriate to laugh till you snort. What's your line, Celia?
Oh, I try to have a three-snort day.
Yeah, she tries to have a three-snort day every day. You know, so just know that's what this year is about. It's about us looking at what really matters. Eckhart Tolle worded it this way. I found this fabulous quote that fits it perfect. Life will give you whatever experience is most helpful for the evolution of your consciousness. How do you know this is an experience you need? Because this is the experience you are having in the moment. So, yeah, last year we faced some challenges. It wasn't a particularly fun year all year, although we do have our way through those things. But I think we now have something that we would not have. We would have missed this had we not shared this experience of the last 12 months. And what that is compassion. What that is immense appreciation. And that is love. So there's a reason. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. And that's the most important thing, is that, you know, for myself, I realize now I'm way stronger than I used to think I was. And I can get through whatever I have to. So I wanted to share that with you based on Hugh's urging. So right now, what matters most? Right now, what's fabulously important? I think the hardest part about writing the talk this morning was that I have so much to say to you that I thought if I tell you everything, the board meeting will be a dinner meeting, and you don't really want to sit that long. So I had this brilliant idea that honestly, after I typed 80 pages, and it's all kind of related to all of this, I realized that I have enough material for me to spread out what matters most over a whole year. So I'm going to be patient and not jump in too much. I do want to say this. I have this thrilling, crisp vision for us as a community for this year and the years to come. I see us as a beloved community. That will be one of the themes we will be talking about this year. There's a meaning to that, and it comes from the Martin Luther King Jr., some quotes from Martin Luther King. And so we'll be talking more about that. I want to tell you that part of the time I spent in that luscious week where I sequestered myself was that I have revamped our education program in such a novel way that I think other ministers are going to be jumping at what I've created. It's going to make it a lot easier for people to accomplish certificated classes in a real practical and spelled out way. I'm going to be telling you more about all of this at the annual meeting. That business meeting is very important. We are required to have a forum. And so it's really important that you make an effort to be there on February the 17th. And we'll have time for food, and then we'll come back. It is a meeting for members, but because of the nature of this material, I would invite you, even if you are not a member, you might want to be there to hear what's going on, because there's a lot of exciting things we want to share with you. You know, we're creating a vibrant community that is sustainable, that has a future. Things are changing, and it's exciting, and I think that the Holy Spirit has just been bombarding a bunch of us with how that's going to smooth itself out, and so we will talk about all of that. And by the way, speaking of the family, I always do that, the annual meeting, the business meeting, the board's going to have a major shift this year. We are graduating two members who have actually served more than their term. They served a full term in an extra year because we really needed them last year, and I'm very grateful. So what that means is we also have an opportunity to fill the seat that was unfilled last year. So we have potential for three new board members. If that tugs at your heart in any way, give it a thought. Give it some prayer. There are requirements, but you can see me. You can see Reverend Clyde. Sue Witter is on top of our bylaws, out of her head. I call her because it's easier than looking things up. Because that's how you think. That is strange. We could wed your brain and Hugh's brain. Wow. The world would, there'd be no problems in the world. We'd have to do all our communicating through our hearts, wouldn't we? So there are requirements for that, but please let us know. There's application, there's interviews, and there's a process. But we are looking to fill 3 seats. I'll be happy. I'll be really satisfied with 2. If your heart it calls you, let us know, and we'll check and see if you're qualified, if you're eligible. Then we'll all vote on that at the annual meeting. You know, they say, and I'm closing now, they say it takes 7 years for a minister to ripen. And I'm at 7.5 years. And I think that really, for me, explains all this exhilaration that I'm feeling, all this excitement, because I'm feeling more confident than I ever have. I'm blessed with a wonderful staff and an assistant minister and a staff minister. And, you know, it's just life is really, from my perspective, really good. And there's no reason we can't do all the things we want to accomplish this year. I want to close with a quote from Reverend Dr. Jim Lockard. He's a minister in our movement. And this quote is taken from the book, Beloved Community, which I, myself, and every member of the board from last year, we have dissected it, and we read it, we talked about it for 7 weeks and in the board meetings. And so we're really excited to bring you this level of spiritual maturity. This quote comes from that book. This calling together of spiritually engaged people into the beloved community is important work. It is essential to the ongoing development of humanity as a species. We are intentionally working toward a better version of ourselves, and that better version is within each of us already as pure potential. Don't say a word. We're going to move right into prayer. And so I would ask at this time, any of the ministers in the room, any of the practitioners in the room, if you would just stand and surround this sanctuary so that we might anchor the powerful words that help us understand what's most important. What matters most. And so we just take a deep, cleansing, holy breath. And as we release, we relax. And we just allow ourselves to feel comfortable in this sacred place. And I know that this is a sacred place because we deem it so. As we come together and remember that there is a power and a presence for good, and that it is right here, it is right now, it is in this very room, it is at the core of each being, the soul of each person sitting in this room. I feel that love of God moving through me even now. And I see that it is an activity of life that is so vital, so important. It is the very thing that supports life. It is the infinite intelligence that breathes our lungs and pumps our hearts in that perfect rhythm that sustains our life. It is the intelligence, the divine DNA that is found in every cell of our body. So that as physical beings, we realize that we are also divine. That there is something incredible, something miraculous about life. There is this beautiful insistence that life continues. And so how wonderful it is to know How relieved we feel as we can sense that eternality of life. That as one expression of the physical being fades away, something else is taking form that is vaster and broader and bigger and greater than ever before, because that's what life does. It is constantly expanding and evolving and growing in love and in joy and in beauty and in peace, in harmony and in perfect order. And so I know that no matter what stands in front of us or what experiences we have moved through this past year, I know that the grace of God is that which carries us. And so we open ourselves now. We open our hearts even more. We open our minds so that we remain open at the top. And in this openness, we become vessels to receive that good. And in this moment, the grace of God is rushing toward us. And we receive, we accept, we allow Spirit to fill us. And we feel that movement of the Holy Spirit within, that quickening, that which heals all that ails us, that which mends relationships, that which helps us understand that the real meaning of forgiveness and love and acceptance and inclusivity. And I am so grateful. I am moved to feel that gratitude in such a way that it is with deep emotion that I stir in the deepest of gratitude. I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of these gifts, for all of this remembering, for knowing we are sitting in a beloved community. And in great joy, I release the words of this prayer into that dynamic law that always responds affirmatively. And together we say, and so it is. Amen. Amen.